Perfect. All right. So let's continue into Taf Nun Beis, the Seder of the Hagala. So basically, we learned the last 2 weeks about Terabala and Surabala. And the Mechaber and Taf Nun Beis, if Aleph and the Ramah seem to be Mako with Is, that Chometz is called Terabala. So the Bliyas that come out of it, it's called Not Barnat. And since the Bliyas coming out of it and Not Barnat, so if you, as long as you kasher before it becomes Aser, which is before the Shah, Mechaber says before the Shah Chmishas, so then you could kasher it, and you don't have to worry if the bleas will go back in and go back out, and it doesn't matter. Now, the Mechaber says that once you hit the Zman Isra, you have to be machmer on many, many things. Okay? And he lists a whole list of things that when you're doing a Hagala, you have to be machmer. And then the point of that, if you read Sif Aleph in Tufnin Beis, you could get a little confused because you don't really understand what exactly he's talking about. What he's mentioning a lot of things here. So just to go through, the point of all the things he's mentioning is that each one of these things will make sure that the pot is not boileya, is not going to bring in the flavor that's in the water, okay? So he lists a whole bunch of methods how to make sure that whatever flavor that you're, you know, the whole point of kashering, you're trying to get the flavor out of the pot, the problem is all the flavor may come right back in. So let's just read the sif. It says, Yesh lizar lahagel koydim shah chamishas. You should make sure to do the gal before the shah chamishas. Kedei, so that. You don't have to worry if the kli is ben yoymai. That's the easiest method. If you make, if the kli is ain't a ben yoymai, then all the flavor comes out, becomes bottle. It's also not whatever, but a zikr bottle. And if you do it before the Zman Issa, you don't have to worry about that. Haga im yeshishim, you don't have to worry if there's 60, because you don't care if the flavor will go back in and come back out. V'chein, imagel kelim shibliyasan mu'etes and kelim shibliyasan maruba. Interesting point. He says, if you have one fork, this fork was boileya a half a kazayis of chametz. You have another fork that was boileya a full kazayis of chametz, because this was used with like some major like lasagna situation. The other thing was like, you know, it touched on the corner a little bit of chametz. And you put them in at the same time and you take them out. What's going to happen is that there's in general, there's a concept that while a kli is giving off flavor, it can't bring in, you can't, it's not a two-way street, it's a one-way avenue. So if it's giving out the flavor, at the time that it's giving out the flavor, it cannot bring in the flavor. So therefore, if the assumption is kol zman that it's being maflit, it can't be boileya. So therefore, if, as long as you make sure that the kli, while it's in the water, is being maflit the whole time, it's giving the flavor out, it will never bring in the flavors. It's another method to make sure that the flavor doesn't come back in. If you make sure that the kli is only there, kol zman it's being maflit. Okay, so he says, v'chein imasha kelim b'socha yoyorsim, that don't leave it in too long. So, scientists over here, I mean, how do we know exactly, like what's too long, what's too short? But he's saying here a very interesting thing. Somehow, if you do know, what's going to happen is the kli with the kazayis of chametz inside will take longer to give off its flavor than the kli with the half a zayis inside. Which is interesting because you would think all of it comes out at once. But apparently that's not the case. And apparently it takes longer. So therefore, if you're going to leave them both in at the same time, there's going to be a moment in time where the one that's a kazayis is still giving out flavor, but the one that's not a kazayis already stopped giving out its flavor and now it's susceptible to bringing in the flavor. So you would have to be careful with that if you're doing it after the Zman Isser. So now you don't have to worry about that. And you can, because it's before the Zman Isser and not by not Tehut, you don't have to worry about it. Okay, you're right, and technically you're saying that it's going to be mafled the power of flavor also, so it's going to be busy being mafled. Okay, I hear that. Fine. So, and you have to make sure that the water is in the kli is in the water only while it's boiling, and not while it's just yatzol at this point. In other words, while the understanding seems to be that if the kli is in the water while the water is boiling, the water does also, the kli cannot bring in flavor at that point. It only brings in flavor when it's yatzol lettuce, but not boiling. So if the kli is boiling the whole time, it won't bring in the flavor. Okay. Now the Biur Halacha brings from the Biur Akra that it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch that after the Zman Isser, you have to machmir on all these things. But that's also shver because if as long as you have shishim and you have Eina ben Yoimai, as long as it's Erev Pesach still, it should be fine. So why does it mashma you have to be machmer in all of these things? It's not true. So the Bialacha says that the Vilna Goin, and he brings a whole arichas here, in that bottom line is that the Goin holds that really it's lav dafka, all these things. Because before the Zman Eser, you don't have to be machmer in any of them. And after the Zman Eser, you cannot rely on any of these by themselves. Teretz says you need to make sure after the Zman Eser, if it's Erev Pesach right before Pesach, you have to be magil and shishim and Eina ben Yoimai. So then you don't have to worry about the other ones. So the other ones are basically irrelevant. Because like you said, we're not scientists. How are you going to figure this out? So we don't rely on any of those things by themselves. And you need shishim and Eina ben Yoimai, and that's enough by itself. So all these extra things are pretty much not negeya. So we're not going to focus on them because they're complicated and we don't really understand exactly what he's talking about. Okay, but there's one point that the Shulchan Aruch says over here. We spoke at last week. At the end of the day, the Bir Halacha, the Magen Avraham himself says, "Ach, even though when we kasher, we always kasher before Erev Pesach, right? We always kasher early. So therefore, you don't have to be worried about it. And theoretically, you don't have to worry about Eina Ben Yoimai. You could kasher a pot. This pot was cooked with pasta that day, and there's no shishim against it." So you can kasher, okay. However, Zayis and Magen Avraham, no, Nagul Hachmer b'chol hachumreis. Magen Avraham sefkatan hey, sefkatan vav. Nagul Hachmer b'chol hachumreis, afilu koidem shah chmishes. We are knowing to be machmer. It's a pella now. So now, we spent a few weeks on trying to learn the Shulchan Aruch. Magen Avraham, one line comes and says, by the way, we're not knowing like that. So first of all, there's one big problem with the Shulchan Aruch is that the Shulchan Aruch assumes that chametz is heter, chametz is mutter, right? Because before Pesach, but we already asked the stira from Tufnun Aleph Siv Dalet that there is mashma that chametz is iser. So the Bialacha explains one of the reasons to be machmer is because we're choishish really that it is isura, and we don't want to rely on that, and not banat of heter. There's another thing that the Taz says, another reason to be machmer. Remember, the whole idea is that if you kasher, let's say you have a big pot and you take a small pot and you put it into the big pot, a fork, you take the fork. If the fork was used for chametz within that day and there's no 60 times the water against the fork, then what would we say the problem is? The problem is the flavor coming out of the fork is going to go into the water and come right back in. So what'd you gain? The only thing you gain that you turned it into not bar not. So if it's heter, fine, but if it's iser, you can't rely on that. Okay. But the Taz has another svara, very geshmaka svara, which is that we already said in Hilchas, in Yeridaya, in Sadi Hey, we already said that we, Ashkenazim, we hold that not barnat is osir. And we hold, even according to the Mechaber, not to do not barnat lechatchila. That was a chiddush, but the Mechaber held not to do not barnat lechatchila. So the Taz says, maybe if you're relying on not barnat for your hechsher, you're really doing not barnat lechatchila. You're being goyrim and not barnat lechatchila. You're not supposed to do that. You know what that's the equivalent of? That's the equivalent of, essentially, you call up and you say, I have a milchik pot. I want to cook pasta in my milchik pot in order to make my spaghetti and meatballs. So we've been saying the whole time, if you put your meatballs on that spaghetti, fine. But you cannot go lechatchila premeditated, cook up the pasta in the milchik pot in order to put the meatballs on, because you're allowing this not bar not lechatchila. So says the Taz, maybe the reason to be machmer on this is because you're relying on not bar not lechatchila. You're kashering your fork. How? I'm using not bar not. You're not supposed to use not bar not lechatchila. So therefore, really should avoid this. That's what the Taz says. Now we answered a few weeks ago, I'm getting a little complicated now, but we answered 2 weeks ago that it's not necessarily the same case because you have two kalim and three knots here, because it's more removed in the pasta, right? Because here the flavor is going out into the water and you're not drinking that water. It's going back into the pot now. And then you're cooking it on Pesach. So it's really more removed. Maybe that type of not by not, you could do lechatchila. Okay. But maybe you could do lechatchila, which is, by the way, for example, I'll tell you where we do that lechatchila. Let's say you had a soup, which is a power soup, and it was cooked in a milchik pot. Now, you want to go ahead and reheat the pot, and you want to reheat the soup in a power of pot. Why? I don't know. Let's say your microwave is parif and you want to reheat it in your microwave. Okay? So are you allowed to do that? Are you keeping your microwave parif? Well, next time you use the microwave, you're going to want to use the microwave for, you know, a potato that you're going to eat with meat. Because it's a parif microwave, right? So now that potato now is not of that original soup, right? Again, made a soup in a milchik pot. And now it's a parif soup. But it was a milchik pot. And then you're heating it in a parif microwave. Are you allowed to do the lechatchila knowing that maybe tomorrow you're going to, or later in the day, you're going to use that microwave for a different parif food that you're going to eat with fleishik? The answer is yes, you're allowed to, because it's three times, that potato is three times in base kalim. It's very far removed from the original milk, right? Because the milk went from the milk to the pot, to the soup, into the microwave, and then back into the potato. By the time you're eating it, it's already has gone through two kalim and three knots. You're allowed to do that lechatchila. So therefore, kashering is the same thing. It's the equivalent, because the flavor went from the chametz to the pot, back to the water, back to the pot, back into the food that you're going to cook on Pesach. So that far removed, you're allowed to even do lechatchila. That's what we said. But the Taz says that maybe the minhag to be machmer is because on Pesach, we don't want to use even that type of, you know,
four-step
great-grandson of the not bar not, you know, the oranical, you know, the yichas.
Four-step, would it work with Isser?
No.
Not at all?
No. Mm-hmm. Correct. If you, very good. If you had a chazir pot and you cooked soup in there, and then you warmed up that soup into the microwave, and you cooked a potato in that microwave, you would not be allowed to eat the potato. Right, here's a good point. For Issa, this would never work. Very, very, right?
You don't say not by Issa.
That's what I'm saying. Right. You don't say not by Issa. Very good. Yeah, exactly. So, but this is all by Heter, and the question is, as for the Heter has to turn into Issa. So, such a weak flavor. Okay, but the Taz says maybe that's Pshat and the Chumra. Okay, so now if we are being machmer, so what's the Seder Hagala? The Seder Hagala is you have to make sure that everything's Eina Ben Yoyma. Make sure everything is not fresh. Eina Ben Yoyma. Okay, now there's one other Chumra, and this is what causes the greatest confusion in the pre-Pesach kitchen, in my opinion, okay? Is I'm kashering my sinks. I'm kashering my bechers. Okay, we're turning over the kitchen, Motzei Shabbos, Sunday, whatever. We're turning over the kitchen. They call, Rabbi, am I supposed to use my Pesach pot? I have to kasher some forks. Should I use my Pesach pot or my chametz pot? Now, as a rabbi, your answer is not going to be good regardless. You're going to tell the lady, use a chametz pot. I should use my chametz pot. I already kashered my stove. I already didn't kasher my counter. My Pesach pot is already away over here. I'm going to use my Pesach pot for the stuff I want to use for kashering for Pesach. It makes no sense. Okay, use your Pesach pot. Use my Pesach pot. I'm going to put all my chametz dishes inside my Pesach pot. You crazy? Right. So this is a very confusing issue. Okay. Now this issue is addressed directly by the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says there's one other chumrah that if you kasher too late, you have to do. But seemingly, if you kasher early, you don't have to do. What's that? Says the Shulchan Aruch in Tzif Aleph here. Says the Shulchan Aruch that if you want to kasher, if you're going to kasher after this man iser, when it's too late, the pot that you're going to kasher in, you're going to have to kasher before you do the hagala and after you do the hagala. You're going to have to kasher it twice. Now, why do you have to kasher twice? Let's say you call up. This happened to me last year. I didn't kasher my bechers. It's after, it's already, you know, Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, I didn't kasher my bechers. Last year, happens every year. I didn't kasher my bechers. Okay. So this year, by the way, don't ask, call me. I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going to pick up the phone after Chatzos in America. It's after Chatzos here, I'm done. I have to kasher my bechers. Okay, so what do you do? So Shulchan Aruch says you have to use your, if you want to use your Pesach pot, you have to kasher the pot tchil of a soif. Well, yeah. So what does that mean? So what that means is let's assume it means if you want a kasher or something for Pesach, and my example is a little, I have to think about the example. But basically, the point is like this. Let's go to what he does say, not what he doesn't say. He says, if you're kashering early, you don't have to kasher the pot before and after. He says, the Maganom, you only have to kasher it once, before or after. Why? So it's very, the pshat is like this. If you're going to use a Pesach pot, let's take both scenarios. If you can use a Pesach pot, then what's the problem? The problem is that the flavor from the pot and the stuff you're kashering is now going into the Pesach pot, right? Now, going into the Pesach pot is not any different than going back into the fork itself, right? So just like before Pesach, we're okay with saying that you can kasher it and you don't need chishim and it could be any binyamai, and yet we say the fork is fine. But he says, the Magen Avraham, if you want to use this pot on Pesach, it's a Pesach pot, but after you kasher, you should re-kasher the pot. So why is the Magen Avraham saying that? Lamaskana, I understand it, because Lamaskana, we're machmer on this. We don't want even that type of flavor, Eina Benyoymoy, to go into the pot. But in the Havamina, it sounds like, even before the Minig, it sounds like he was machmer on that. To kasher the pot afterwards. Yeah.
We're just going to make just one more knot.
Right, so you're not really gaining much. So why is he saying that? So it seems like what they're saying is that on the fork itself, you're not relying on not on the fork itself, you have no choice. What should you do? That's the only way to kasher it. It's going to have to go back in. The pot, though, since you want to use it on Pesach, so you should be more machmer on the pot than on the thing itself. It's hard to understand exactly, but that's what Prima Gadam says. It says, now.
Kasher, you have to do the same thing again. It's better than not.
Yeah, because basically, because he's saying is that the pot is worse than the fork, because the fork has its siruf, that the fork is giving out its blias now. The pot is not giving out its blias anymore. It's already been used too often, so therefore you don't even have that siruf. So you have the only svar you have is the ena binya is the napar not. We're no one even in that, even like the machaber. We don't want to rely on that. Okay, but lemaisa halach lemaisa, he says that you're supposed to kasher the pot. So that means like this: if a person calls up and they want to kasher up the bechers, so the halach will be you can take your Pesach pot. You have two choices: either take your Pesach pot, kasher the bechers. When you're done, re-kasher the Pesach pot. Okay?
Even before,
yeah. Or take your chametz pot, kasher it first. By pouring water, open it, filling it up with water, kashering it. And then, it's a kosher Pesach pot. Then fill it up again with water. And throw out that water, fill it up again, and then you can kasher the bechers in it, and then put away the pot for chametz. Okay, so you could do one or the other. Those are your two choices, essentially. Now, that only is, now, the Kafah Chaim and the Shulchan Aruch Rav say, a big chiddush, but that's still napanah l'chatchila. It's still using tam of gam l'chatchila. We don't want to use even the tam of gam l'chatchila.
And it's
yeah.
However,
says the Kafah Chaim and the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that if there's shishim in the kalim that you're kashing, then you don't have to kasher the pot. So, shishim is better. What? There's never shishim in the pot itself. The chametz pot that you're going to kasher first, you're going to have to rely on Eina Binyan. There's no other way out of that. And that's not considered using tam of gam l'chatchila because it's b'dievet. You don't have any way to use it. But if the heter I'm using is tam of gam, we l'chatchila don't use tam of gam. No, you don't have a bigger pot. It's a big pot. It's fair. Okay, it's very hard to stick that. Go find another pot that's going to have shishim against that. A pot is a big thing. I mean, it's hard to find a pot. That's just you can't get another pot. Right? So now, therefore, it's very hard to find that you'll have 60 against it. So now, I'm not going to, so what's the only heter I have? I'm going to use Eina Ben Yoimi. So that's not called Nois and Tam of Gam L'Chatchil. That's not called using the heter of Eina Ben Yoimi. That's an old flavor. You don't want to rely on that L'Chatchil. It's not called L'Chatchil. I have no choice. I want to kash my pot. So as long as Eina Ben Yoimi, you can do that. So it's not Parnat. It's no problem of Eina Ben Yoimi. But the other Kalim, we don't want to rely on Eina Ben Yoimi L'Chatchil. We don't want to rely on Parnat L'Chatchil. So the only thing we could do is shishim, but he says if you have shishim, then you don't have to kash the pot afterwards. Okay, so let's just chaz it over. The lady calls up. I need to kash my silverware. Should I use my Pesach pot or should I use my chametz pot? Answers: it's up to you. Either way, if you use your Pesach pot, assuming that there's not going to be 60 against all the silverware in the pot, there's no 60 in that silverware against the pot. A lot of silverware. There's not necessarily 60 against the Becher in a pot either. Yeah. That's Mavor and all. So we're machmal lechayz in there. Even though the Magen Avraham has an interesting thing. If it was one is used for chametz chicken, one is used for chametz fish, they don't taste the same. So they're not going to come together. But so he says, in the Prima God Mass, but all the chametz taste the same. Okay, but let's assume I want to kasher all my silverware. I don't have 60 in my pot against my silverware. So you wait till the silver is Eina Ben Yoimi. It hasn't been used for 24 hours. Now you tell the lady, it's your choice. If you want to use your Pesach pot, okay, no problem. Fill up the pot, bring it to a boil, put in all your silverware, and it's fine, no problem. After you take out the silverware, you run under cold water. So again, another method to make sure that the blades don't go back in, and it's all good. Then, when you're done all the koshering, pour out that water and now re-kosher the pot from all the stuff that went into it. Which you'll tell me, it's so weird. It makes no sense, right? What am I worried about? I'm worried about the flavor that came out of the knife. But the flavor that came out of the knife went back into the knife too. And the knife was fine. I'm putting it away for Pesach. But now the pot, which is now contaminated with the same flavor so the answer is there's a few tzirufim on the knife that the pot doesn't have. The knife was being koshered at the time, so that's part of the equation that it's less likely that the flavor came into the knife. But the pot is sitting there as a lame duck. It's ready to get in all the flavor. So that's one of the reasons to be machmir. Also, you have no choice. On the pot, you have a choice. You can re-kosher it. When you re-kosher the knife, it doesn't. So therefore, you kosher the knife afterwards. Kosher the pot again after. Or you tell the lady, you could use your Pesach pot. You could use your chametz pot. What you just have to do is kasher it first, turn it into a Pesach pot, fill it up with water, get out all the chametz, right? Now you're telling me what's that, but it's Eina Ben Yoimi, it's the same as the knife. Why are we more worried about the flavor coming out of the pot than the flavor coming out of the knife? They're the same thing. Kacha, because you could avoid it, you could kasher the pot before you kasher the knife. So why not? You can't kasher the knife before you kasher the knife. So,
as you're heating up with water, the bleeds are coming out. I shouldn't get the knife, you're putting it on once it's boiled.
Right, okay. Okay, there's other tzirufim on the knife that you don't have on the pot itself, and therefore those are the two choices. Okay, fine. So you have two gishmak choices. Okay, another point about how to kasher a pot. If you look at
when you're kashering the whole thing.
That's what I want to get to. How do you kasher a pot? So we just said five times, fill it up with water and good. So now if you look, there's a Sif Vav in Tufnun Beis. And in Sif Vav in Tufnun Beis, he brings up an issue, the following issue. If you fill up a pot all the way, there's one spot on the pot that's not getting kashered, which is the lip of the pot. The very top lip, water is not getting on there because water is staying in the pot. So he says you have one of two things you could do. Either attach some sort of lip around the pot, and therefore if all the water, which will like boil over, will hit the lip, hit the backboard and land right on the rim, and you'll have all the water going on the rim, and that's fine. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it is that you bring it to a boil, you put it in a boiling hot stone, you put the brick in and it boils up all the will boil over the water, and then the wild water will also go over the lip. Now, first question, why do I have to worry about kashering the lip of the pot? L'chaira, if I fill up the pot till the top of the lip, then kashering goes through and through, right? So therefore, I kasher all the flavor in the entire pot, right? So if I'm sitting there with the water at the lip, so the water kashers not just the surface, it goes, not just kedei klipa, it kashers the entire kli. So why do I have to now make sure that the water goes on top of the lip? What's wrong with filling it up to the parallel to the lip and let the kashering now go through the thickness of the pot? Big kasha. The answer is because there's a rule in kashering that you have to kasher the pot from the direction that the flavor came in. So there's a concern that the flavor on the lip did not just come in from the inside of the pot. The flavor of the chametz came onto the lip from the top. Because sometimes you could have something squirting onto the top of the pot. And since you could have something that squirts onto the top of the pot, you have to kasher it from the top of the pot. Similar to what we said in Sadi Beis, that if you have a chalent pot cooking and you were mixing your baby bottle milk and the water squirted, you have a tipas chalav that fell into the side of the pot. So we were busy there. You need 60 times the drop, 60 times 60. How do you kasher? The answer is, but the kasher of the pot, you have to pour water on the outside because that's where the milk came from. So you have to always kasher from the direction that the flavor came in through. So therefore, you need to make sure that the flavor will touch the top of the pot. Okay?
So concern, would you also be concerned with the outside side of the pot?
No, because when water squirts up, it's not going to land and then hit back into the side. It's going to land straight down on. So either it's going to land in or it's going to land on the lip. How's it going to land and hit the back? What?
Well, your soup boils over, it comes inside the pot and the pot is on fire.
I hear your question, but I hear your point. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't have that chumrah. It's a pretty good point, Lamaisa. But
if it's on the fire, then
it doesn't matter, right? If it's on the fire, then the blue will go through. So why would we be more concerned with the top than the outside? I don't know.
Yeah, but also, when you boil, why is there not much of a test of the stone? When you boil hot, and it's only full knowledge to the top. Once it starts boiling, it'll boil the sides.
Oh, yeah, apparently not as robust. It won't be as stark. Okay, so that's how you kosher a pot. Okay? So now my question is, we just told this lady who called us 5 minutes ago, we just told her, yeah, don't worry, your silverware is not such a big deal. Calm down. You either use your Pesach pot and kasher it afterwards or use your chametz pot and kasher it before. Well, that's fine, as long as you don't tell her about this. Once you start telling her, oh, by the way, when you're kashering it before, get a brick, boil it over, or find some Play-Doh and start making your lip around your pot, and find this brick. I know. I'm saying, find your thing and then find a brick outside, go boil it over. Now it's starting to get complicated. You don't want this conversation to get more complicated than it has to get, right? That's what we're getting to. So this is to use a pot to kasher for Pesach. You're taking your pasta, your chametz pot from the whole year, you want to kasher to use on Pesach. What if I'm only kashering the pot to do Haggadah with it? Do I have to worry about this concern that maybe there's bliyas that came in from the top? So that's open in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah and Tafnan Beis, Sif Katan, on this Sif, and Sif Vav, and Sif Katan Vav, he says in the first in the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Vav, he says, Pirish, this whole thing is if you want to use the pot to cook on Pesach. Okay? The last line in the Mishnah Berurah Chavtes, where it says Lamed Vav, Aval B'tchila, Koidim Shemachshir HaKelim, U'machshir HaYoyer, Tchila Min Esu Shabai, Ein Tzach Lasus L'Saf. So if you're kashering the pot only for the purpose of Haggala, to kasher the silverware in it, you do not have to do this whole thing. So all you have to do is fill up the pot, bring it to a boil, let it kasher it, pour out the water, and then refill, and then you're good. Okay? So if the lady calls up and she chooses option A, to use her chametz pot, but kasher it first, everything's good. Okay? What happens if she calls up and she wants to use option B? She wants to use her Pesach pot. She wants to use her Pesach pot, and then she'll kasher it afterwards. Over the, what was over there?
And then she's going to do this.
What? So does she have to do this or not? Yeah. On the one hand, you say maybe you have to do this because you're using it on Pesach. On the other hand, you're only kashering it from this one incident of Hagala.
And maybe never got it
in the first place. But I think it's refers to the Mishabura, that very Mishabura, the first part of the Mishabura. He says, if you are recashering the pot after you did a gala inside, you used your Pesach pot, you kashered your silverware in the Pesach pot, and now you're using that option B. Now you want to recasher it to use it on Pesach, then you got to do this method of kashering over. So if the lady's calling up, you don't really have. What? No. Now it's a different answer. You don't have two methods because the second method is much more complicated.
Right. So from practical matter, you're going to tell her to take a chametz pot, fill it in a 3/4, put the bechers in, and you're done.
Why 3/4? You have to kasher the pot.
I mean, kasher.
But you don't have to boil it over.
Afterwards, when you put the stuff in, you can just.
Yeah, exactly. Kasher the pot. Right. Now, that's a practical matter because there's a room full of men. Lemaisa, the ladies, they don't want to bring chametz pot into my Pesach kitchen, kasher it, then use it.
And then we're
going to
pour the water.
No, take it outside. No, I'm going to kill. It gets very complicated. So not everyone loves this eitzah. Okay, number one. Number two is, I spoke to some poiskim about the following thing.
Tell the ladies to go with the Zula. That doesn't have the whole community.
Now, what's it called? Now, Lemaisa, I didn't verify this. And maybe I asked Robert Freeman or someone else, whatever. But a few years ago, I asked somebody, does this Mishabura hold true even if I only kashered Bechers? Because let's be real, I mean, Bechers is a big chumrah, the whole thing that you're kashering them. What? The likelihood that there's chumrah in those Bechers is very unlikely, and the amount to say that you need shishim against the whole Becher is big chiddush. So probably there's shishim in the water. So do I have to go ahead and re-kasher the pot now, especially with this chumrah on top of the thing, the Pesach tik pot? So he kind of basically agreed that definitely this chomer, maybe if you only do bechers, maybe you don't have to do this chomer. Because the likelihood that there's no shishim in the water is very unlikely.
For the stami, you're doing bechers and one other thing.
Right, once you remember, right, you remember one other thing. Right, or that's the one time that, you know, everything that we learned the whole year and that we told you to stick on top of your fridge, that pile of forks and knives that you stuck on top of your fridge because we've been learning you're there the whole year. So all those stuff, you're probably going to kasher now also, right?
You just get to be very careful to the lady. It's only if you're only kashering bechers.
Right. So it's a little, whatever. Now, it's only if you're doing the bechers, but if you're kashering, you know, everything else, forks, knives, and then you got to do this whole method, okay? Now, one other question I have is the following. What happens if, this is very good, you're doing a pot, you're kashering a pot, and we're saying if you're kashering a chametz pot to do hagala inside the chametz pot, you don't have to boil it over. Okay. What if, now let's get to another topic, which we're going to talk about next week. But like I said, before next week, if we're going to talk about sinks next week, you'll have to sign a disclaimer before, a waiver before this year.
We're doing sinks.
A waiver this, what? We'll do sinks encounters next week.
I've got to do sinks today, so I'll talk to you
after. Yeah. So, one mahalach to do your counters and sinks is you pick up a pot and you pour the water out of the pot. Yes. What? Mess. Right, exactly. So now question is, in that case, again, same question. Do you use your Pesach pot? Do you use your chametz pot? Now, if you use your Pesach pot, great, the water is good. Do you have to kasher your Pesach pot after you're doing Iri? Is that only that you have to re-kasher the pot if you did Hagola inside it? So all the blias from the silverware and the bechers that were inside went in. But if you just used it to pour over onto a chametz counter, do you really have to kasher it?
Sure, the Iru is the
second.
Well,
right. So Pashup Shat, especially if the counter is in a Ben Yoimai, okay? Pashup Shat is you do not have to kasher it afterwards. So there, it would surely be easier to use a Pesach pot. There would be no cheshbin why you would have to kasher it after. It doesn't have this chumrah that maybe the naparnat went back in. Okay? Now, there's steam and stuff like that, but if you're worried about steam, you have to kasher the outside of the pot. I don't know, steam, you would have to do Irui, and you would have to work, if there is a lot of steam, which you probably, in a lot of cases there is, so then you have to kasher the outside of the pot. So that's a big problem, right? So let's say you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Also, you may touch the part of the pot of the kli that wasn't kasher yet. Let's say you're doing your sink, and you may end up with the pot touching the faucet before you actually kasher the faucet. Right? There's water in between. The outside of the pot is water. Now you have kli l'kli, right? So it's touching the outside of the pot, is touching the faucet before you actually kasher. So using the Pesach pot has its problems. So you told the person use your chametz pot, just kasher before. And we already have the Mishnah Berurah that said that you're kashering a chametz pot in order to use it for hechsher, you don't have to boil it over. Is that true? Even with Irui? Because in this case, Irui is more chametz. Why? Because you're pouring the water over the lid. So don't, you can't use the logic, well, I'm only kashering inside. So the likelihood of any flavor from the lip getting into my bechers is not going to happen. So Mishnah Berurah's makel, you don't have to boil it over. But if I'm using my chametz pot to pour over, then I am going over the lip. Buffet, right? I'm pouring over the lip. We're not being makel on any binyamah. And there's no shishim. We're not being makel on any binyamah by itself without kashering it. So therefore, if you're using a chametz pot to do Irui, you do have to boil it over before you use it. So in a way, the Irui is more complicated than the Hagala itself, which is strange, right? Because in the Hagala itself, you're using the pot more, but Lamaisa, you're not using the lip of the pot, so you don't have to worry about the lip of the pot. So bottom line is, these are my two sfeikas. I don't really have a real good yeshiva on it. You're saying basically boil over the pot, but just, no, but you're not doing it over the fire.
No, first of all, you buy an electric kettle, you aren't doing it over the fire, but you while it's on.
Electric kettles, you could also, it's basically, and by the way, if you have a kashering pot, then you don't have to worry about it. If you have a kashering pot, you're good, because the kashering pot itself is a new, it's its own independent pot.
You need a kashering pot. Only for kashering?
I only use it for kashering.
What about the electric kettles?
Electric kettles, if it's a chametz one or a Pesach one?
Either one. You're only using it for kashrus.
Right.
Electric kettle.
If you're only using it for kashrus, then it's not a problem. I'm not sure about the steam. It could be that the steam. The truth is, the steam is already coming up after it's kosher, right? So Hagola again. So Tchazer over. If you, because we're not being makel on that. We're not being makel that on the pot itself, right? On the pot itself. Right. So I'm saying if you use, I have these two sfeikas I don't know the answers to right now. I mean, I'm bringing up the issues. You know, that when you're kashering inside the pot, Mishnah Berurah talks about the fish. No problem. So if you're using a Pesach pot, you should kasher it over again fully afterwards. If you're using a chametz pot, you can kasher it before without boiling over. Fine. But when you're pouring, like on counters or on sinks, so either way, I have a suffix. If you're using a Pesach pot, what about the, fine, do you have to kasher it afterwards? Maybe that you don't have that chomer, or maybe it's more chomer because you have the steam and whatever. I'm not sure. I think it's probably, I'll verify, better next week. And if you're using the chametz pot, then do you have to boil it over first because you're actually pouring over the lip? These are two sfeikas in when it comes to Irui, what to do. Most people are not kashering between now and next Sunday, so we have another week to still get back to this. What? Okay, shkoyach. Shkoyach.
Shkoyach. I'm actually kashering my mother's sinks today. You know your father also.